CA cross, and there is no E in my name. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning. Whenever you're listening, it is always the perfect time. I am Stacey A. Cross, and there is no E in my name. And today on the Get Uncomfortable podcast show, it is my pleasure, my honor to bring to you a true champion in the comfort-killing lifestyle, a true champion that just does not sit down, has to get up, have her voice be heard, have her beauty be seen. It is Doris Hobbs of richinlovefashion.com. And I must say, Doris really pounded the doors of the comfort killers and says, let me in, because I have a story to share and people need to hear it. So I want to welcome Doris. Doris is a spokesmodel, diabetes advocate, contributing editor, and published writer with a successful history of providing media exposure to luxury brands worldwide. And if you just take a second to go to richinlovefashion.com, you will see that romantic, serene, beauty, luxury, the brand plus writing. I think it's coupled well with writing. And you will get to see another side of her. And I think she's bringing that and keeping it modern to the blogging world. But she's not just a blogger. We're not just blogger. Doris, welcome to Get Uncomfortable.
I cannot wait to get uncomfortable with you, Stacey. Let's do this.
Let's do it. I mean, first of all, as I'm reading your bio, and it's a beautiful bio. It's almost like reading a romantic novel, right? It's a beautiful bio. Mm-hmm. And the first thing that struck my eye, because I came from, you know, loving fashion and my previous businesses was fashion. What made you, Doris, go into like a blogging for fashion, luxury brands? How does one jump into that?
Getting to the point where you're so tired of doing the 9-to-5, you know, routine of the box life that we all live in. And it was just at a point where I found myself let go from a company that I worked for many years, and I didn't know what to do. And so I was like, okay, now I have to start all over again. And there's a feeling of, you know, do you go back to being comfortable to the 9-to-5, you know, box life, or do you kind of like go out and do something else? And it was funny, previously, before, you know, being let go from my employer, I wrote a book about all of my, you know, jobs, you know, situations in a fictional light. And so I wrote that, it got published into Barnes and Noble and Amazon and so on. So I was already branching out, doing things that were different, because I don't know, I just felt like there was more to, I've always said there's more to life than this. And it's always been in my mindset. So basically, after being let go, I didn't look for many jobs, because I said, no, it's time to do something different. So I went to a fashion blogger that I was following online in San Francisco, because that's where I'm at. And we were talking, and I asked her, why did you start your blog? And she said, because I just love fashion, and I didn't care if anybody ever looked at it. And I said, wow, that's really inspiring. So I went home, and the next couple of days, I kind of like thought about it. And I said, well, a lot of people told me that I should be a model growing up, and I'm tall and, you know, pretty, and I know how to write, and I have marketing background, and I was a fashion merchandiser for 10 years. I think I'm a really good candidate to do this. And I got, you know, really uncomfortable, and I just started self-teaching myself everything there was about the blogging industry, and I just did it. And look at me now, 4.5 years later, I made a business out of it.
Wow, that is amazing. First of all, because your back was, I mean, you got laid off. You left the position wasn't there anymore. The comfort wasn't there anymore. And you said to yourself, well, you know what? I'm not going to really look. I know that there's something else to life. You had a mindset.
Exactly.
So, you know, it wasn't like, you know, you jumped over. You just said, you know what? This is the right time at this point to do it. And then you wrote a book. What was that, the name of that book?
Oh gosh. It has, if you see my blog and then you see the book, you're going to be like, whoa, that's like total opposite. The name of the book, well, yeah, this is quite funny. The book is called Confessions of a Job Whore. And because of the main character, Jessica Livingston, She basically jumped around to job because, just like, you know, myself, fictional character in it, but she knew there was more to life than what working the 9 to 5. So she had all these random jobs, but then I had to kind of make it, you know, a little like, you know, fun twist in it with a little love story and so on and so on. But it was just the fact that, you know, at the end of the book, she kind of just realized that there's more to life than just working 9 to 5. It's about being happy. It's about living a life of your own and not being controlled by other people. And I think that's just my type A personality and entrepreneur mindset, where I don't like people to tell me what I can and can't do. I want to be my own free agent, you know? So, I mean, it's just the way it is.
I love that, because I'm dominant in type A in that aspect. And I think entrepreneurs are, we just don't want to hear it. Like, you know, we know the way that life best works, but we're also at the same time willing to learn everything. And that's what you had to do 4.5 years ago. You're picking up this thing, and you know, you're picking up this thing that people've been doing for a long time already, right? We're always feeling like now is not the right time. That wave came and left already. What am I gonna do? So was that a big learning curve for you to get into the internet kind of space, marketing, blogging? How was that to take on that new role?
I think for me, it was, the whole process was very, I was a novice to it. It was very uncomfortable because of the fact that, you know, I don't know anything about, you know, I really didn't know anything about the blogging industry, just the bloggers that I would, you know, look online. So then I kind of just started researching how to start a blog, you know, go on Google and try to do that. And then I got signed up for WordPress because I felt like that was the best platform for me, user friendly. So I started, I signed up for that. And then I just kind of basically, the first thing I did was I signed up for a Twitter account, because I figured I could still write, you know, so many characters, but I still can write and use it as a marketing tool. So I did that. And then I just kind of signed up for a few little fashion apps on my iPhone to kind of like spread the word out there. And I just went with it. But the one thing that was the hardest, the writing wasn't the hardest, doing the layout and learning all that and all the social media came very natural for me. It was, this is going to be kind of funny, getting in front of that camera and taking pictures. That was the hardest thing in public. I couldn't, you know, it was so funny because my boyfriend, he's done photography, you know, for 20 years. So it was kind of funny that I'm with somebody that does photography, and we never discussed it when we got together. It was just like he showed me a few photos like, you know, oh, I did this for a hobby, but I didn't know it was on a professional hobby kind of level. So we went out one day to take some pictures because I was just doing with the self timer on in my courtyard where I live, and I just wasn't feeling the quality of them. So one day he comes home and he says, well, let me take your pictures. And I'm like, well, you do it as a hobby. He's like, well, what are you doing? So I was like, all right, well, it's better than the courtyard. So we went out on location, and he took my pictures, and I came home and I was literally like in awe, like, oh my gosh, like you have this natural born talent. Like, where have you been with this? So it just opened it up, but I was still uncomfortable taking pictures out in public, but having him take my photos made me feel a little bit more comfortable. But now it's like, I can't wait. It's like, put me anywhere in public and I'll stand there and take pictures. I love it.
I mean,
it's just getting over that feeling of, oh, I'm not comfortable. It's just, you have to do it. Cause if you don't, you will never ever grow or see what your true potential or destiny is.
That's absolutely correct. And you said something to me that it struck me while you were telling the story of your boyfriend with the photography. We are usually always given a situation or experience that will move us out of our comfort zone if we are aware of that situation. I know, you know, speaking now and with my partner and girlfriend, that's one of her things that she wants to do. But because I'm doing it, we're actually interdependent on each other to make each other better. So that's amazing how the universe prepares us by putting people that we need in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
So as I'm reading and I'm reading on and I'm, you know, and I want to get to, let's say, what year were you diagnosed with diabetes?
It was in October of 2014, and it was the hugest shock to me, but it, you know, diabetes runs in my family. My dad's had it since he was 2 years old. My sister got it when she was 21. Everybody looked at me and it was like, you're next. And I'm like, no, I'm not. But then sure enough, 33, it did happen. But, it was one of the most uncomfortable evenings when everything happened and when I, you know, got the news, but it's been one of the most rewarding things that has ever happened to me.
I mean, you were just a year into starting your blog, correct?
No, about 2 years into it. So it was like the halfway point. So I'm getting the swing of it. I'm starting to, you know, authentically have real followers, real, you know, people enjoy what I'm doing and building that, you know, audience. And then it strikes.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, oh my gosh, what do I do? So
I read a story that you put up, and it was about losing your eyesight one morning.
Oh my God.
Could you tell our audience, because this you had to really get uncomfortable at this point. Now, when something like this happens, could you just bring us through that story and let us understand what you felt on that morning when you woke up?
Okay, so it was the morning before a follow-up doctor's appointment, because I already got the news that I was diagnosed. Now I have to go into the doctors to now get the insulin and, you know, learn about everything. But I already had a father that was a diabetic, so I pretty much knew the routine, but it was just now getting the prescriptions. So I wake up that morning, and my boyfriend was running late to leave for business. And he had to go. There's no way he could get out of it. So I'm laying there, can't see, so upset. I can't even see my phone. Like, I'm picking up my phone and I'm like crying. Like, I can't see. And he's freaking out, like, oh my God, what do I do? And then he's, you know, has to go, and he's feeling terrible. It's all these emotions going on at one time. And I just laid there, and it was just like, you know, the black and white TVs with the snow on it. So that's what I was only able to see. So all I could do was just sit there and just pray that it was going to pass, because I felt like everything was going to end if it didn't. Like, I was just feeling so negative at the moment, and normally I'm not. So, you know, he says, I have to go, but, you know, I'll call your family. And I said, no, because at that time my family still didn't know that I was diagnosed. I was so, like, yeah, you know, kind of under that belief that, oh, this is a mistake, this is all a dream. So basically what happened was I basically laid there and just, you know, basically just prayed a lot. And finally, when my vision came back a little bit, I was, you know, of course, thanking God for it. And then I finally called my sister. And that right there, I think, was the most uncomfortable conversation that I could have had during the diabetes, because I didn't want to tell my family. I didn't want to admit it. And I felt like if I told my family, that was me admitting it.
Wow.
And I didn't want to admit it. I was so determined not to be one. So it was just one of those moments of like, okay, now my eyesight's slowly coming back.
Yeah.
So now I have that, but I couldn't drive to the appointment. It still wasn't safe, because I didn't know if it was going to happen again.
Right.
So, so basically I had to call my sister, and I remember that feeling. It was not good. And so she was understanding, very loving. And so she said, I'll come and get you, and we'll go to your appointment. And she went with me, but it was just, I don't know, I'm just determined to find a solution to everything. And I feel like so many people say there's no solution to diabetes, there's no cure, but I'm one of the crazy people that think that there is a cure, and I want to find that. So maybe that's just my entrepreneur side.
That's awesome, because first of all, that's a scary whole ordeal. And, you know, and be crazy. We want you out here crazy. You know, I have family members that have diabetes type 2, and I do know a few people with type 1, and it's just scary. And you're absolutely right. Let's be crazy and believe in the possible versus the there's no solutions, and that taking that avenue and that negativity around it. But what I'm concerned with is how you kind of like it woke you up. It kind of propelled you into this whole new mission, this whole new side of Doris, into being an advocate. Now, what has that what has that done for you and your business?
Oh my gosh, it's made me the glamorous diabetes advocate for sure. Because now that's actually what Beyond Type 1, actually, when they mailed me a card, because I was going to do a trunk show with one of my designer friends in San Francisco.
Yes.
And it was funny because they mailed me a card if I wanted to donate proceeds from the event to them. So they sent me a card, and they said, to the glamorous diabetes advocate. And I was just like, oh my God. And it's just like, I want to spread that glamour about diabetes. I want to refashion what people think about it.
Because I
just feel like every time you say something to somebody that you're a diabetic, you get this sad face of like sadness, like it's the most terrible thing on earth. And it's just like, no, there's so much glamour, because I always say every setback is a setup for the glamour in life. And this has been a setback, but it's also set me up to be an inspiration to so many other diabetics and provide them with the hope.
You're there. I think you broke up a bit, but I'm here. Oh. Provide them with.
Yes. Sorry about that.
No, you're all good. So, I mean, I'm reading number two of your top three goals. Number two is to find a cure for diabetes and at the minimum have others see the glamour in a setback. You said that quote. I think I'm going to re-quote it for this whole ordeal. Could you just say that quote again that you just said about the setback and the setup?
Oh, yeah. Every setback is a setup for the glamour in life.
I love that. I love that. So now you've accepted it, okay? You're about 2 years in your company, richandlovefashion.com. You've inherited some clothing, right? I think 1940s is that era that you love, correct, Doris?
Yeah, to be exact, 1947 with Christian Dior's new look.
Oh,
that's
wow.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, Christian Dior, when he came up with that 1947 new look collection, it just changed fashion, you know, forever. I really believe it did, you know, because women now were, you know, having like the clenched waist and, you know, the corsets were, you know, popular too back in the era. I wear a corset as well, and talk about being uncomfortable with still bones going across your rib cage, you know, clenching you down. But that's a lot of discipline in itself as well. So
absolutely. I think fashion, I think high fashion and fine fashion is definitely discipline. I did see a picture of your grandparents on both ends. And these guys were walking around high fashion, very fashionable. So I could see where you get it from.
Yeah, especially my grandfather on my mother's side. He was like my mentor growing up. He was like, he taught me so much. And I feel like that's where a lot of my entrepreneurness has come from him, because he was the same way where he just walked, like, you know, this is back in like the 40s or whatever, but he just walked right out of school or whatever. And he's like, I'm not going back. I'm just going to do what I want to do. And he just worked on the shipyards because that's what he wanted to be, a shipwright.
Right.
And then later on, after he was done doing that, he started his own business doing ships and bottles. And I'm just like, how does someone just like get up and walk one day to do what they want to do and they live out their dreams? Because that's like something like you don't hear about a lot. And it's just, it was, as a little girl, it was just so motivating for me to be like, well, shoot, I'm just going to live my dreams out, you know, and just live uncomfortable.
I love that. And, you know, just before we move on, cause I want to get to the entrepreneur side. I think you have a lot of value there to give our audience and to me. I'm so interested, but before I move on, I just want to make sure that everyone knows all the type of organizations that you have provided mass media exposure for your being a diabetes advocate, Beyond Type 1, JDRF, American Diabetes Association, of course, Diabetes Alive, and Lawrence Hope. You've been featured on radio stations, Healthio 360 and Diabetes Late Night. And what do you do to be an advocate? You just tell us about living with it, showing the glamour side of it, and of course, being crazy into wanting to find a cure, correct?
That's pretty much sums it up. And a lot of times with a lot of these foundations and organizations, I just basically cold prospect them and just put my story out there, because your story is the most valuable thing you'll ever have. And it was funny, like when I was doing the blog, I didn't tell my story, like for the first 2 years, obviously, because I wasn't a diabetic. But after I became a diabetic, it was one of my business mentors at the time. She says, you need to share, it's time for you to share your story. And I said, I'm not ready. And she was like, you need to share your story about diabetes, because it's going to inspire so many women. And I just, that was another uncomfortable moment in my life. And I just wasn't ready to do it. So I waited a few weeks. I slept on it. And finally I said, you know what? she's right. And I'm going to take this risk because, you know, everybody each week sees this glamorous, you know, woman standing here with these glamorous, you know, pieces of authentic vintage garments. And I'm taking you back in time and everything's just perfect. But I want people to see that, you know, sometimes when something's so perfect, it's not. There's something underneath it all. Yes. So I shared my story. And after I did, it was the most powerful thing because so many people, past clients and collaborations and, you know, just people coming out that I've worked with on social media and email just started telling me, my husband's a type 1 diabetic. My daughter's a diabetic. I'm a diabetic. And I was just like, I was floored that I started a mini little movement of people coming out and exposing that on social media. And it was just a powerful moment for me. And I was just like, God, this was amazing. I'm so glad I did this.
No, that's awesome. And it all starts with leaving your comfort zone and be willing to share your story. Really, that's it. You know?
Yes.
And I want to talk about the business size of it because I'm curious. I mean, 4 years is not a long time in business, but it's a long time to make an impact. And what I've learned is that time is really of the essence. Like, I don't fight with time anymore. I just let things be and action will provide result. And I'm interested in your cold calling, prospecting, marketing, social media. Like, tell me your day to day in your prospecting life. Because as I read it here, and as you already showed me, is that you say you have no shame. You will email prospect anyone that you believe that you can help in one way or another. Like, having that kind of force when you wake up, like, where's the fear? You kick fear to the door. Tell me about that.
Well, you know, first thing, you know, I give thanks, and then at 4:30 in the morning, I'm doing my cardio workout because that helps lower my blood sugar. So I'm already up at 4:30. People think I'm crazy for that. But hey, if it helps keep my blood sugar down and keeps the momentum going, then I'm going to do it. So I do that. And then I just kind of start my day and get ready. And then I just cold prospect it, you know, kind of like Grant Cardone, because, you know, he's like an amazing businessman himself. And it's just like how he hammers people. And it's just like, if he can do it, I can do it. So right. It's kind of like, I've just learned that, you know, you just have to continuously, like for me, if I see a business on Instagram or, you know, Twitter or online, wherever, I'll research it and see if there's a connection, because I'm not going to cold prospect someone that I cannot provide value to, because that's just not the right thing to do.
Right.
So basically, if I feel like there's a connection on Rich and Love Fashion, or there's a connection in a magazine profile article or any other projects I'm working on for other magazines or whatever, I'll cold prospect you. What the heck, you know? What's the worst thing you're going to say is no, but I'm going to ask you why, you know, why you're saying no. I mean, I'm going to get down to the root of it, because of the fact that too many times, you know, you're following up with somebody. A lot of salespeople will follow up like, I think it's like 3 or 4 times. And I think it's 46% of them will stop after the fourth time. And it's kind of sad, because it's just like, you kind of need to continue to move that momentum forward, because a lot of people are busy, or your email goes to the spam, and then you've got to start calling or going on social media and start, you know, prospecting them on there. Like, oh, I hope you got my email. You know, I can't wait to work with you. And because everybody's on a different platform, not everybody's on email. Some people are better on social media, but it's just that momentum of no shame. Like, what is the worst thing that's going to happen? You're going to get a no, and then you're going to have to sit there and problem solve it and try to see if you can still work with them. And if it's still a no, you follow up with them in 3 months.
I mean, it's just like, So you're telling me that a no is a maybe, and a maybe is a yes.
Well, yeah, or a no could be looked at next opportunity, you know, in a different.
I love it.
Yeah, because I just feel like too many times people make excuses for everything they do in life. And it's just like, stop with the excuses. I'll do it tomorrow, or I'll do it next week. It's like, why not now? What's wrong with now? Like, is now not a good time, because you're not guaranteed tomorrow? Mm. So, I mean, you know, so it's just like, you have to get really deep into this and really realize that, you know, it's just like, I don't know. I just feel like too many people bounce off of, I believe, who was that said it? Bob Proctor said it, where he talks about the terror barrier, where so many people want to go do something. Oh, I want to start a business. And then they start running towards this barrier. And then all this stuff starts happening. And then they bounce off because they're too fearful and they can't go forward.
Right. And it's put there to a valuable lesson. You need to grow from something. I mean, that's what I'm saying. We're all in business. Things happen on a daily basis. right? But I'm learning from each individual experience, each individual thing. You know, a year ago, this time, I wasn't here. You wouldn't know who Stacey A. Cross is, Doris. Because I had to take that step. I had to learn. I had to share my story. Everything that you said, I had to prospect. I had to sell myself. I had to email. I had a cold call. I had to believe in myself. I had to get over fear.
Yes. Yes.
So you're really, I feel you 100%. And I love that that's not this glamour side though. You tie up those boots. They may be your boots. Okay, but you're tying those laces up and you're kicking doors down, Doris.
Well, it's the fact that, you know, I feel like even before the diabetes, you know, I was very determined. I have a very determined personality. So it's just like if someone tells me we can't do it, I'm like, well, let's find a way. And I just want to find a way, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just like I don't give up easily, you know, which sometimes could be a good thing and a bad thing, you know, depending on the situation. But for the fact that after I became a diabetic, it just became real. It was like real, like, you know, because I mean, like, you know, in life is real. Yeah. Everything's, you know, happening around us and everything, but you get so like, you get into this, like I was talking about earlier, this box life where you live in a box, you eat out of a box, you take you get ready in a box, you drive in a box to go to another box, you know, and then you just do it all over again. Everything's box, box, box. And it's just like, I wanted to be outside of that box and be different. And I think I've always wanted to be different, and I was always felt like the black sheep of any situation, and that was fine with me. I was always the tall, pasty white redhead girl in the group, and it was fine with me because I think that really inspired me to continue to be different. And then going through life and everything happening, I didn't want to conform, and that's what everybody wants to do. They conform because it's comfortable. Oh, if someone's doing this, I'm going to do it. No, if you were to ask anybody, why do you go to your 9 to 5? They couldn't give you one good reason besides pay the bills or to, you know, they really couldn't tell you why they're going to their job, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no reason. There's nothing there. Yeah. So it's kind of like when I became a diabetic, that's when it got real for me. And I was like, okay, I got to speed up this clock because I know what I want to do. I've already written a book. I'm doing this blog. I'm doing this and this and this. Now it's time to get real about this. And that's when all the sales and all my, you know, education came into play. And right. That's where it all came in. So I just mean to stop conforming. We need to just start a movement for people to stop conforming because there's so many people out there that have brilliant, you know, like inventions they want to create or businesses or media platforms, and they sit there and it's just dormant inside of them. Mm-hmm. It just sits there and it's just like, it's almost in a way where you just want to shake them. Like, come on, get out there. Stop right. making the excuses.
Absolutely.
But I mean, that's a personal journey. Everybody has to go through a personal journey and you have to want to go through it. Because if you don't want to go through it, then no one really can shake you to do it. You know?
I love it. I was just talking about this yesterday, but the why, what I've heard you say here.
Oh, yeah.
Huge.
Oh, yeah. My purpose, my why, my everything. Yeah. And that's the one thing you have to have. And I that's what I love to do when I interview people for profile. Like I get inspired, like how you get inspired by people you interview. I get inspired as well when I'm writing articles and, you know, profile, you know, interviews with designers. And I always ask them, is this something you've always wanted to do? Is this your why? Is this your purpose? I'm asking these questions for a reason because it's helping me to help me grow and be a better entrepreneur. And it's also inspiring to see that all these successful people that got out of the comfort zone are successful, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just, it's a trend there where everybody I've interviewed that has their own businesses, they got out of that comfort zone and they slowly work towards, you know, being uncomfortable, going through fear and let down and setbacks and so on and so on to where they are today. And some of them are, you know, some of them are my closest friends because of it now in my network, because they're just such an inspiration to me. Because they didn't conform into the box life. They went for it.
I love the box. You leave the box, you go in the box. I heard you almost said you shit in the box. I'll say it for you, shit in the box. You know, it's like, it's crazy. We live in a box head lifestyle. You remember, what was that cartoon? Was it the box heads and then Gumby? Yeah, you're a box head, okay? Get out of the box head life. No, I love what you do. What I'm interested in is, you know, I know there was points when you were building your company, when you're building this blog, and you're just figuring it out. You already have the background in social media. Those things came natural to you. Those things were easy. How did you take your blog from zero to 100? And I know there were points in that time where it was like, damn, is it going to work? What? You know? And I know a lot of people, they think about that. I'm like, hey, start now. Start writing. Start authoring. Start making content, creating content. They're like, Stace, no one's coming to my website. So I think that there's a lot of value to be had here. What? How do you, in 4 years, how did you grow it so much?
Well, first of all, it was, you know, learning everything I needed to do. So knowledge, you need to have knowledge first. You just don't run into something, you know, as an idiot. You need to go into it with the knowledge, you know, with the tools and the supplies to set you up to succeed. Then after that, it was more of being authentic. So when I first started my blog, I was more doing like kind of like sophisticated business wear that a woman would wear, you know, like nice, like, you know, dresses with maybe some vintage rhinestone earrings and a vintage clutch. So it wasn't full head to toe vintage at the time because I wasn't being true to myself. I was just kind of being comfortable when I first started to fill everything out. And then it wasn't for about 6 months to 8 months later, I was just like, I'm just going to be uncomfortable and I'm just going to start being more authentic to what I want to do. Mm-hmm. So then I started incorporating the vintage hats and more of the vintage, you know, furs. And I just started incorporating that more and more. So I slowly moved that in there. And that's where I saw a lot of people start following me more because I was authentic. I believed what I was doing because before it wasn't a lot of traffic. It felt forced. It just wasn't there and it wasn't who I was. Mm-hmm. And so when I became more authentic, and I was like doing what I wanted to do, that's where the passion comes out. And anybody that talks to me in person sees that passion where I'm, you know, just light up like a light bulb because it's just what I do best. And so I started doing that. And my best thing is social media. Social media is amazing. And not many people, and even clients I've talked to, they don't really understand it too much. And meaning that they don't know how to use it. And I'm just like, it's Twitter. You type something in there. It's that easy, you know? So I mean, it's just, I think people make things much more complicated. Yep. Yeah. So I just stuck it out with, you know, sticking with social media platforms that I knew I was going to get it to, was going to be dedicated to, because a lot of times I feel like young entrepreneurs that start hustling and they start, you know, getting into a mainstream of what they want to do, they spread themselves out way too thin. I got to do Pinterest. I got to do Facebook. Yeah. I got to do this. And it's just like, wait a minute, hold on here. You got to just stick to the platforms you know you're going to be religious on. Like you're going to be on there every day, nonstop. So I stuck with myself, Twitter, and then Instagram are my two go-tos. Like that's where you'll see me 99% of the time are on those two platforms. Facebook, once in a while. I did that because a lot of clients have to have, you know, to seal the deal, they have to have Facebook for social media. But besides that, that's the three platforms that I am on all the time and then at times LinkedIn. But that's what you have to do because when I had myself doing Pinterest and doing all these other platforms at Google+, it was just like I wasn't going there. So if you're not going there all the time, you're going to start losing people.
Yep.
Because you're not consistent. It's all about consistency too. So if you have a consistent role, you're being authentic, you're growing it nice and slowly, you're basically introducing yourself to your audience and you're giving feedback. You don't, you know, I always feel like if someone makes a comment, I want to comment back because that's the polite thing to do because you're engaging with them. You want engagement. To me, I'll be the first one and I'm so passionate about this. It's not about the numbers. I'm so sick of social media with these numbers. Oh, you have 60,000 followers, so you're more important than the person with 1,000. Nope. It's all about quality over quantity. Yeah. I'm sorry. It's just, I'd rather see someone with quality context than someone that has crap on their Instagram feed and they have 80,000 followers. I don't care about the number. The number means nothing to me. Yeah. Is that going to help me with long-term gain? Half of them are probably bots.
Well, you're absolutely and that's the thing. I love it. I love it because it's about time that someone is just honest. Like, you know, when I have roundtables with my team, we're honest about this. You know what? We don't need to spend time and invest time in Google+. We're not there. Okay. Let's stop trying to be Gary Vee and let's try to be right? Let's try to be ourselves, because what works for us will not work for someone else, won't work for someone else. There's not one duplicatable blueprint. It's what works for your authentic self, right? What are you naturally going to be consistent at? And I took down notes from what you said. Knowledge, tools, being authentic, it's powerful. I put 14 parentheses around that word because it's so powerful, being authentic, passion, and then finding that social media balance and marketing that works for you, that speaks to your audience, right? And that's and that you can be consistent on. It's simple. It's actually too simple. We've been overcomplicating it with all sorts of craziness.
Yeah, well, yeah, and people have been complicating it with excuses of why they can't do anything. If people limit themselves way too much. If you take the limits off yourself and you run through that terror barrier, you're going to break through it. And you know, you're going to have some cuts and scratches. I'm not going to lie to anybody. It's not going to be an easy ride going through it. I don't want everybody thinking it's glamorous when you go through the wall, but when you get through the wall and you are, you know, done with, you know, with breaking through, you're going to see what you've been missing out all the years before. And you're going to be like, oh my gosh, I should have done this X amount of years before, but I was too scared or this or that.
Absolutely.
And I just feel like there's an abundance out in this world, an abundance in the universe. And if we know properly how to utilize it and we know who we are, our authentic selves, and we're not worried about doing some work, you probably will agree with me on this because you're an entrepreneur. Doesn't it annoy you when people say happy Monday, hump day Wednesday, or happy Friday? Thank God it's Friday.
God.
You just want to basically just scream. You want to scream, you know?
Absolutely. Go ahead. Because you got me riled up. My blood is boiling now. Thank you. You're right.
But when someone says TGIF, I just basically want to lose it because of the fact it's like, I'm going to be on a photo shoot at 5 o'clock the next morning on Saturday. And then on Sunday, I have my office hours at home. And then Monday, I start right back up again. So it's really like, what is this TGIF? Like, what's going on? Like, it's just for the people that have that lack mentality where they just want to live in that box life. And it's just like, when you're an entrepreneur, you're open 24/7.
Absolutely.
You're always hustling. You're always connecting with people. I don't care if it's like midnight and I wake up and someone like basically prospects me, I'll wake up and start a conversation because they may be over in London and it might be morning for them.
That's
not going to be like, oh, all this. Yeah.
I shut it down at business hours at 9 to 5 and please catch me on Monday morning. No.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Hey, Doris, you are amazing. You taught me a few things today. Okay.
Oh, good.
You told me a few things today, and I'm going to go over them. But before that, I want to ask you, what's your favorite book? What's the one book for you?
God, I have so many books that I've read. I wouldn't even know where to start because there's so many. Oh, can I say my book's my favorite?
That book title is the best title I've ever heard in a long time. The Confessions of a Traveler.
Well, it comes from the Urban Dictionary with what it defines a job for is a girl or person that jumps the job to job. And that's exactly what I did. There's like a chapter in the book. It talks about, I think it says like 45 minutes and 16 seconds because that's how long I've had a job because I went in there. I was like, I'm out of here. And I just left because it was just not for me because I really feel like I knew what I wanted to do, but it just wasn't happening at that time. And time is very, you know, it's with time, you gotta have to be patient and go through the trials through life. So I'm actually kind of glad that I went through all this because I got a book out of it and I got to let a lot of aggressive out in it, you know, just be able to pour my heart and soul into the book and just really get all my 20 something years out. But it was really good. It was therapeutic for me. And I just feel like it's helped so many people that have read it. And, it's just basically kind of this tells my story and in my 20s. And eventually I want to write a book about being an entrepreneur and the glamour of a setback. And hopefully that will come next. But I just feel like there's a lot of great books out there. I know Grant Cardone has a few of them. He has many of them. But I mean, it's just, I think what you can do is if you don't have time, because a lot of people, here's another excuse, I don't have time to read. Well, books are knowledge. You got to read. I grew up in a like family full of books and magazines. So I feel like audiobooks. get YouTube on, put it on in the car, and drive to your box live. But I mean, just drive, because your car is your best classroom. People don't realize that. People are jamming out to their music, but they should be jamming out to Grant Cardone, Bob Proctor, Les Brown. They should, absolutely. Or Joel Osteen. They should be jamming out to, you know, inspirational motivation, you know, YouTube videos, and just listening to it in their car. Because what else do you have to do in your car besides sit there and focus on driving? You can be listening and having this stuff go into your subconscious mind, where everything compiles anyways. Why don't you have the 92% of your subconscious mind, you know, pile all of this amazing, you know, information, you know, while you're driving? I don't know. I just think.
No, you're absolutely right. You know, we know, you know, my Audi was my university. I called it my Audi university. I created CDs that said Audi university. I haven't listened to the radio. I don't even know why we bumped up our SiriusXM subscription, because we don't listen to it. Oh, I do listen to the business channel though. But here's the deal. I love it all. I think you're such a comfort killer. I think that you've gotten uncomfortable and you still look every day to get uncomfortable even more, to expand. You're never contracting, always in expansion mode. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate what you give to our listeners today, because it's not just, hey, we're going to get up and get uncomfortable, but there's some tangibles here that we could listen to for prospecting. All right. The next opportunity, that's a no. This is huge. Like, you research the businesses, right? Is there a connection? How can I help? Is it authentic? These are things that I took away from it, and you're pounding it. There shouldn't be no shame, baby, in your game. So I believe.
Don't be scared. Don't be scared to go out there and put yourself out there. I mean, we're here for a reason. We get one shot in life. Make it the best you can. Don't sit in the crowd. Be out on the stage. I want to be on center stage. I want to accept an award one day. I don't know what award, but I want to accept an award for something, because I want to be that much of an inspiration. And I have this crazy goal of wanting to be a motivation speaker. I want to be on stage to motivate people. I feel like you get me on a stage with hundreds and thousands of people, like, I will rock that crowd. I will make people go out there leaving their 9-to-5s the next day, because it's just so, I mean, we should do that together. We should go out and have a grand tour together.
We need to do it together. I won't be walking out in the Christian Dior, but I will be walking around with a few. You know what I mean? No, I love it. Doris, we have to create it, and we know that now. And I just want to give you an award for just being a strong, individual, human, powerful, a creator, being an inspiration, and being and making it easy for other people to come out. That mini movement you started, you've changed lives. So I want to give you an award for being uncomfortable, Doris. And I just want you to know that I have your back, and I'm going to follow up relentless with you, and I have no shame in my game. I'm going to be calling you and asking you when we're going to go on the stage. Okay? Just don't try to put me in a dress.
Oh no, you can wear whatever you want. I'll probably wear a hat. But no, like, if you're out in the San Francisco Bay Area, we really need to do this, because I'm like, now you already got the light bulb going on. So I'm gonna come up with this whole proposal and email it to you now, and then I'm gonna follow up like 12 times.
My team is listening to this now. We're all like thumbs up, high, giving high fives as if it's already created. We just created it. So, comfort killers, you heard it here first. You're going to see two amazing, overpowering that comfort level and just blowing things out of the box, because we take, you know, shit in boxes too. Now, I have to say, but Doris, your website, richinlovefashion.com, this is one of the best ones I had with you, Doris. Thank you so much for pulling this excitement out of me. And what's your email address? If someone wants to reach out to you, they could contact you.
richinloveinquiries@gmail.com. And then it's all on my website. So if they go to the website, you go to the bottom, it'll have the contact information there. Yeah. And then, of course, you can just explore the website with diabetes awareness, blog. Yeah. You know, I have a little Etsy shop where if you shop on the Etsy boutique, proceeds go to diabetes as well. So,
nice.
I mean, everything I do gives back in one way, or it supports a cause, or it provides value. And that's what it's all about, is providing value and being authentic. So, I mean, that's my mission, is to continue what I'm doing on that level.
I love it. Thank you so much for joining our community here tonight. Or the morning, wherever, whenever they're listening, okay? I don't want to even put a time on this thing here. My name is Stacey A. Cross, and there's no E in it. I had a beautiful conversation with Doris Hobbs. There's no E in that either. She's from richinlovefashion.com, San Francisco, bringing the luxury, the glamour back to life, okay? The setback that could have been everyone's setback. I know people that just won't come out of the dirt after even hearing that they have a diabetes, much less anything in life, right? They really set back, but you use it as your setup and you're giving back. And I appreciate that 100% because I hear your passion. I feel that you're so determined, and I know that you're going to go on to do great things, and we're going to be on the stage together, Doris, and I can't wait to do it. You know? So thank you for being a comfort killer. Thank you for getting uncomfortable with Stacey A. Cross. I am Stacey A. Cross, and there is no E in my name. Until next time, see you later.